Oh, crap.
The moment when it hits the fan. I'm Meredith Hartley.
I'm Frank Hutchison.
And you're listening to Oh Crap, the Crisis Management Podcast, helping you survive your Oh Crap moments in business and in life. Brought to you by Me Squared. You can learn more at our website, www.me2-solutions.com. That's www.me2-solutions.com. Hi everyone! Today we're talking about tabletop exercises, which are a really great crisis management tool that people forget about. A lot of times when you plan out a crisis, one person sits in a room, or maybe two people, and they come up with a crisis management plan. Then they write it down, and they hand it out to everyone, everyone reads it, and that's the plan. But a good crisis management plan takes into account that a plan is only as good as how it intersects with real life. The goal of a tabletop exercise is to bring everyone together and actually talk through your crisis management plan. Talk through the scenario and discuss where is everyone, what does each person do. It also makes sure that everyone in the team understands where everyone else is coming from. And the real plus of doing a tabletop exercise is it's actually cheaper than doing a big dramatic crisis management plan or bringing in experts to try to do one for you. Because you bring everyone to the table, everyone's involved, you're really training your team to respond as a team. When the plan's just on paper, people can't internalize it really, and they only recognize their little part of it. But an effective plan addresses how everyone's parts intersect with each other, and it's really about real life. A tabletop exercise is about teaching your team to think about crisis as a team and react as a team.
It's also effective for helping teams to visualize what to do in situations that you don't really want to experience. When, you know, let's say you're going to have the building burned down. Well, you don't want to burn down the building to see how you're going to react. So you talk through the process, saying, if this happens, this is what I would do. And someone says, well, hey, if you do that, then it's going to mess up me in this way. So it's a way for people to kind of see how they would react in situations without actually experiencing the situation.
It gets everyone out of their head in a crisis, too, because by the time a crisis hits, they've already discussed things with the other people on their teams. So instead of reacting as an individual, they react with each other and depend on each other to actually get things done. Now, Frank has a couple of great examples of tabletop exercises, and you may not even realize you've done one before. That's the cool thing, is that you've probably done a tabletop exercise anytime you've sat in a staff meeting and talked about a problem, but you don't realize how powerful they are until you see them in context. And Frank has a couple of really great stories, so go for it.
Well, one, it's a tabletop exercise I didn't participate in, but I was aware of it and I watched it happening. It was done for the U.S. Department of Agriculture back after 9/11. One of the big concerns was someone introducing biological weapons into the food supply of the United States. And one of the weapons was foot and mouth disease, a very contagious disease that if it gets into a herd of cattle, just spreads. And basically, the only cure for it is to kill the cattle and burn the carcasses. As they were going through this, they said, okay, the scenario was someone deliberately introduces foot and mouth disease into the herd, the cattle herds in Kansas. And okay, they worked out the response and everything else, and it worked fairly well. I mean, it was a bad situation, and it would be a bad situation. But what really came out was one of the critical problems was, how do you dispose of a million carcasses of beef? You can't slice them up and feed them to people. You've got to burn them. Okay, how are you going to burn a million head of cattle? Well, it involved digging trenches, putting the dead cattle in the ditches, and then pouring diesel fuel over them and burning them. And one of the problems with that was, where do you get all the diesel fuel? How do you get enough of it in there? A lot of problems. Never experienced. But they were able to talk through the process and start finding solutions as they went through it.
And those are one of the that's a kind of problem that doesn't usually come up when someone writes a crisis management plan to begin with. They make a lot of assumptions. Like, for instance, oh, we can burn the carcasses if we have diesel fuel. They never think that extra step of, wait, where are we going to get all that diesel fuel? They never think of what those extra steps are going to be. And when you bring everyone together for a tabletop exercise, you have a better chance that you're going to catch those assumptions. That someone's going to say, wait a second, how are we going to get that? Here are the problems we could encounter. So you're really preventing secondary crises, which are crises that aren't the original problem, but arise from the solution to the original problem. That's what a secondary crisis is.
Yes. Another example is one tabletop exercise which I actually organized and planned. It was for a volunteer organization that comprised about 4,000 people total. Mm-hmm. It had three buildings in different locations, and it was in the Northern Virginia, Washington, D.C. suburb area. What I got to do is practice their emergency preparedness plan. If there was an emergency, a disaster, or whatever, they had a plan in place to respond.
And they were going to turn those centers into emergency shelters for right. local neighborhoods.
The three buildings would become centers for passing out assistance, gathering help, and everything else. I picked 9:32 on a Tuesday morning to have a massive earthquake in the Washington, D.C. area. I got to trash D.C.
You sound so happy about it.
Yes, I was. The whole idea is there a possibility of earthquake? No, it's not. You know, the scenario isn't important. It's creating a situation that people have to respond to. And in this case, the reason why I chose that particular time and that particular day of the week was the fact that almost all the leaders of this volunteer organization worked in the District of Columbia.
They all had day jobs, and yes. they would all be away from the volunteer centers at that exact time in the morning.
The plan basically was a top-down plan. You expected the leaders to be in place and making the decisions to make things happen. As a consequence, by having it occur when it was far away and transportation was disrupted, because, for example, the president of the organization realized that from his office in Washington, D.C., his primary concern was not being president of this organization, but the fact that he had a special needs child that lived out in Manassas, which is 20 miles away. If transportation isn't available, what is he going to do? He couldn't be effective until he got to his son, got his son, and then took care of his son. He was a concerned parent, not the president of the organization.
And that's another thing that comes out in a tabletop exercise, is that usually when you have one person writing a crisis management plan for any scenario, they're thinking of people in terms of the organization. But when a crisis hits, people don't think of themselves as the president of a nonprofit. They don't think of themselves as the fire. They think of themselves as themselves, as a parent, as a person, as someone going through a crisis. And when you do that tabletop exercise, you find out what other people's concerns are. In this case, with everyone away from the emergency centers, you would have had people arriving at the emergency centers long before the leadership could actually get there. You would have had children at school. Each of these people may have worked and been part of these community organizations, but they all have other lives that will affect them during a crisis. And it's not about weakening your response as an organization. It's about making it stronger by accounting for people being themselves.
And also, it's looking at what are the weaknesses? What are the critical points in your plan? What is it that has to work in order for the plan to be effective?
We call those assumptions. What are you assuming needs to happen in order for this to work? And what could make that assumption go completely haywire? So I highly encourage you, it's really easy at your next staff meeting, the next time that you are all sitting around having coffee in your organization, talk about doing a tabletop exercise. Introduce a small problem and talk through, how do we get through this? If you already have a crisis management plan or a response plan, whether it is for an earthquake or for a bad review on your Facebook page, sit down and talk through how everyone will respond. Check your assumptions, see what the weak points are, and use your team to make your crisis management plan stronger. Thanks for listening.
Bye-bye.
Hi, everyone. It's Meredith. Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed the show, you can get more crisis management and prevention tips and strategies for free at our website, www.me2-solutions.com. That's www.me2-solutions.com. We're also on Facebook and Twitter. Just search for ME2 space solutions, and you should find our profile. You can also find me on Twitter under my handle, The Quality Girl. Thanks for listening.
Copyright 2013 by Hutchison Solutions, LLC. All rights reserved. But now, seriously, folks, no part of this podcast may be reproduced in whole or part without our permission. But we'll be happy to give it to you. Just fire us an email, which you can find on our website. Thank you.